The following recording is made available without charge from Cantus Firmus. More resources can be found at cantusfirmus.com. That's CANTUS-FIRMUS.com.
In reflecting upon the debate that I recently had with Ben Doublet on the topic, whose morality was superior, Jesus's or Ayn Rand's, I feel like there's one question that Ben asked which I didn't give a totally satisfactory response to. That question was essentially, do Christians, in order to fulfill Jesus's command to love others as you love yourself, have to live at subsistence levels and give whatever they don't need to survive to the poor? There's a lot to unpack in this question. The basis of Ben asking it was my claim that all humans are equally valuable. And since human life is more valuable than mere possessions, shouldn't we sell all that we don't need to survive in order to make sure that others can survive? Well, it's certainly true that if a Christian did so, it wouldn't be wrong, necessarily. Jesus commands the rich young ruler to do so in Matthew 19. It's also true that we must be willing to give up anything we own for the sake of following Christ, as that passage illustrates, and as Luke 14:33 seems to say. So, it's certainly not a misapplication of the command to love others as yourself if one gives up all that they own for the poor. If one determines that that would be best for them to do. There have been many Christians who've done just this, or something very much like it. But is it required? Does God, or for that matter reason, require that if we're to love our neighbors as ourselves, we must give up all unnecessary possessions? Well, God doesn't seem to. There were rich men and women in the New and Old Testaments, and they're never chastised for simply having wealth and possessions. Examples would include Zacchaeus the tax collector, Lydia, Cornelius the centurion, etc. Though there are many wealthy people in the New and Old Testaments who are condemned for their selfish attitudes and utter neglect or oppression of the poor. Well, how about reason? If one accepts that all humans are equally valuable, does this logically entail that one gives up their possessions? This is perhaps a more complicated issue. The fact that Christians should view the plight of the poor as a moral issue is illustrated in, for example, Matthew 14:14, where Jesus makes it a point to heal the sick out of compassion for their situation, Luke 4:18, where Jesus claims that part of his mission on earth was to proclaim the good news to the poor, that the kingdom of God had come to right the wrongs they'd suffered, Luke 14:3-6, where Jesus heals on the Sabbath to demonstrate that helping others in a bad situation was better than ritualistic observance, Galatians 2:10, where Paul says that a chief concern of all of the apostles was to help the poor, and Isaiah 10:1-2 in the Old Testament, where God condemns those who take advantage of the poor instead of righting the injustices that they had suffered. And there could be a lot more examples, particularly from the Old Testament. So, elevation of the poor and suffering is indeed a biblical value. However, I think that Ben's approach is not the best way to benefit others in the long run. I think that the best approach, though by no means a perfect one, is to create a society and a world where people can thrive and not just survive. Economic freedom and reform support the former, whereas charity deals with the latter. While both are necessary, only the former is a real long-term solution. Though I don't think that capitalism is perfect, and it ought to have certain guardrails placed around it, at least one benefit that it generally encourages is the creation of wealth. However, if everyone was forced to, or chose to, live at subsistence levels, there would be less wealth creation. When you lose that, you also lose the kind of society where everyone can thrive and be taken care of in times of sickness, famine, etc. Here's why. With universal subsistence also comes less specialization. A man who has to farm for a living has less time to devote to medical studies, for example. So medical advancement that can save lives never happens. The irony here is that in a subsistence society, where all men and women are focused on simply doing what's necessary to stay alive, many end up suffering and dying because there's been no technological development which could save and extend lives. So Ben's solution to the Christian egalitarian dilemma doesn't actually solve the problem of how we can love the poor just as we love ourselves in the most efficient and thoughtful way. Here's the bottom line. Is our hope for ourselves and others that we live from day to day, though still manage to survive? Or, conversely, is our hope that we can all thrive and spend time developing our talents and abilities into specializations that enrich our world? For example, though I don't need to read books to live, whenever I buy a book, I'm making it possible for those involved in producing and selling the book to eat, have homes, and continue to produce and distribute books that help society to develop intellectually. So, I don't think that buying music or books, for instance, is taking away from others who are made in the image of God. In fact, it's providing a vocation and thus a living for those made in the image of God who produce such things. The best way to care for others is to give them the resources they need and a sense of personal pride in what they're doing. To give a concrete example of this, African economist Dr. Dembisa Moyo, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right, in her book Dead Aid, presents arguments that much of the charitable aid coming to Africa has not helped, but in fact has sometimes hurt advancement. Instead, she argues, free trade with Africa can accomplish the benefit of helping Africa's people while also benefiting her trade partners. Economic development, in contrast to simple charity, creates interdependence instead of just dependence. Instead of looking at others as poor souls that we ought to take care of, we can look at them as men and women who bear the image of God just as we do and that have much to contribute to the world. This is not to say that charity is fruitless. I think that all Christians ought to find trustworthy, solid charitable organizations and give in order to help others. However, it's not wrong to help provide a living to others just by making purchases that also enrich your life. Each Christian ought to determine the best way to help others and place his resources at God's disposal. This might end up looking different for each Christian, so a sincere believer led by the Holy Spirit might live a simple life with very little possessions, or they might have comparatively many. The litmus test is not how much a Christian owns, but how much they're willing to let God take control of their lives and wealth and their active concern for the poor. As James wrote, quote, "If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that?" Unquote. Christians must have a genuine concern for others that they act upon. Greed must be combated in the life of the Christian, but having some possessions isn't necessarily the same thing as being greedy. The key is to be vigilant, to always examine your motives. I hope this answer provides a more developed and thoughtful response than the one I gave during the debate. If anyone has any feedback on this topic, feel free to comment on my blog at cantus-firmus.com. Thanks.